Good. Well, I don't know if you remember, last Sunday I opened up the service and I was not planned, but I shared a testimony of some missionaries that came to LA because LA needs some missionaries. If you guys remember that, and they went to Starbucks, they prayed for the barista there, and her kid had a miracle happen in his legs. Anyone remember that? You guys remember that last week? Okay, yeah. So when I shared that testimony, I sensed the hunger in the room for that to happen again. I sensed that God was actually, there was an anointing on that there was something about, like, God can do that? That's amazing. And there was this thanksgiving towards God. There was a hunger and a challenge for us to do the same thing, to be missionaries, to go pray for people in Starbucks. But there was also just a hunger to say, God, if you did it for them, do a miracle in my life. And we just prayed for some miracles here this morning. So there's something about when I just shared that testimony, it wasn't even connected to my sermon, but it was something that God was just doing, saying, hey, there's power in testimony, and that's actually where I want to talk about this morning, the power of testimony. So if you're taking notes, that's where we're headed this morning, and we'll see how far I get in all my notes for this morning. But the power of testimony, there is power in the testimony of Jesus Christ. There's power in your testimony of what Jesus has done in your life, right? And so I want us to look just a little bit about that. The first verse that came to my mind actually about this word testimony, maybe I should give you the Greek and Hebrew, but maybe I'll give the first verse and I'll go back. So the first verse that came to my mind when I was thinking about testimony is actually Acts 1:8. And I memorized it a long time ago when I was a kid here in the church. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And where's the word testimony in there, right? That's no word testimony in there, Pastor. But actually in the Greek, witness, that word witness, I'll give you the Greek. Let's see if we can say it, if I can find it. It's, I forget how to pronounce it. Maturion or martus. And so the idea is you get the word martyr from it, right? You're a witness, but really you're giving your testimony. It's the same word testimony, martyrion, martyr, all those things that come from it, that you're testifying, like in a court of law. You're sharing the facts of what happened in your life. You are an eyewitness to something, so that's a big deal in the Greek, right? And all that stuff. They wanted witnesses to testify. In the Jewish culture, you'd have at least two witnesses for something to be true. So this idea of witness, but the idea of martyr, giving your life for something, you really believe in it. But it's a testimony. And for whatever reason, that verse came to my mind because it says, you shall receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you to do what? Yes, to do raise the dead, do all these different things. But the main purpose is to testify. To be someone who gives their testimony of who Jesus Christ is. That everywhere you go, in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, that you have power from the Holy Spirit to give a testimony of Jesus. What has Jesus done in my own life? And that's really, let me give you the definition of martyrion. Testimony, martyr, proof, evidence, witness, proclamation of personal experience. I like that last one. Proclamation of personal experience. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you supernatural power for you to share and proclaim your personal experiences with Jesus. So for me, when I shared that testimony, I didn't pray for that lady. It was no one from here. I don't even know who that lady is. I don't know who the son is. But just sharing that someone had a personal encounter with Jesus, there was power on it. There was an anointing on that witness where it caused there to be something where we're like, man, that's so good. So that's the Greek one. The Hebrew word for testimony is eiduth. That's kind of a fun one to say. Say that, eiduth. Eiduth, all right, so that Hebrew. And really what that means, do it again. So it's the word testimony. You can find it all throughout the Old Testament scripture, the Old Testament, right? Throughout the Hebrew Bible, it says testimony, the testimony, testimony, testimony. But really what you're saying is do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Here's what God did for Israel. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, right? Teach your children, remind them of the things that I did, how I brought you out of Egypt, when you're walking, when you lay them down to bed. Whatever you do, just remind people of the testimonies of what God has already done, the miracles he's done, the things he's done for you. Don't forget them. Remember all the things God has done, and that's called a testimony. But in the Hebrew word, the actual definition is do it again. So the idea is that you are teaching the next generation, here's what God did in my life and in my generation, and I'm testifying he's going to do it again in your generation. He's going to do it again in your life. The idea is there's power. Jesus is saying there's power when you share what God has done in your own personal experience. There's actually power for that to do it again in someone else's life. Is that making sense? Like, I get it. I can read scripture up here. I can be a good teacher and give you all these really good truths and give this all this information. But the reality is there's power when I've encountered Jesus and I'm sharing with you all the good things he's done in my life. And I'm like, oh, I want him to do it again in your life. and you're hungry for God to do it in your life, you're like, if he did it for Pastor Ryan, he can do it for me. And there's power, there's an anointing on that testimony to do it again. So I love Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit comes for that very reason, for us to be witnesses, to be these ones that give testimony. And then in Acts 4:33, it says this, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was powerfully at work in them all. So really quick, if we just broke that down, they testified with great power. They didn't just testify, yeah, Jesus was my rabbi and he died and he's not here anymore. No, it says they testified with great power. They would go around, it says that they went up on the Temple Mount and they were sharing and people were getting converted. And then just these fishermen, these uneducated fishermen, were brought in before the Sanhedrin and all the scholars and all the religious people that knew God's word. And they're like, who are these guys? How'd they get this much boldness? How'd they have understanding of scripture that we don't even have? It's because they're testifying of Jesus. And they're saying all these scriptures point to Jesus. And they're just sharing what Jesus, who Jesus was in their own life. And because they were sharing who Jesus is in their own life, the Holy Spirit gave them power to say things they could not have come up with on their own. Is that making sense? So they were testifying with power. And I love that it says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify. They continued. It wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't they got baptized in front of people and they said, my one time to proclaim that I believe in Jesus Christ, and that's it. Now I don't have to say that anymore. It's like, no, they continually testified. Their testimonies, they kept talking about them over and over and over and over again. They stewarded all the things that Jesus did. John says, man, if we tried to write down all the things that Jesus did, the world could not contain all the books that would have to be written for all the things that Jesus did. But they would still write things down. They're like, well, even though so many, at least let's try to remember things. In fact, as I said that, I think even taking communion is an act of testifying. It's not just saying with our mouth, Jesus died and rose. We're actually experientially testifying that Jesus' body was broken, that his blood was spilled, and we're eating it, we're drinking it, right? It's an act of a testimony when we do that. And that's why there's power in communion. Because we're testifying what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago, but we're also testifying he's doing it again in me right now. The same Jesus that rose from the grave, his same spirit lives in me, and he's bringing me to life right now. Is that making sense? So if you're thinking, okay, maybe that's just for those elite apostles, they're supposed to do that. Well, it gets better and worse at the same time. Revelation 1:5 says this. It says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, or the faithful one who gives testimony, the firstborn among the dead, and the ruling king who rules over all the kings of the earth. I'll stop there. I love that it's kind of giving a qualification of who Jesus is. And the first thing it says, he's a witness. He's someone who gives testimony. That is who Jesus is even right now. When he was here on earth, he testified. He said, I only say what I hear the Father saying. I'm testifying of what God does. Everything he does up in heaven, he wants to do here on earth. So I'm going to testify. I'm going to bring heaven to earth. And he's testifying, right? And it says that Jesus still is, right? He still is this great testifier. That's who he is. That's one of his titles. So I want to be like Jesus in every way. If Jesus is a witness, if Jesus is someone who brings the testimony, then I want to bring someone who brings testimony, right? I love that he brings a testimony about what? About him defeating death. He's the firstborn among the dead. That he's the ruling king, right? Who rules over the kings of the earth. Who are the kings of the earth? Pastor Nick said it, I think, on Wednesday. Who are the kings of the earth? If he's the king of the kings, who is he the king of? We are. You are a royal priesthood. In fact, if we keep reading that verse, right? Is that what it says? I'll read it in, New King James. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus defeated death. He went to the cross and he defeated it. He rose from the grave. But do you have a testimony of you being raised from the dead? Do you? Were you raised from the dead? Were you resurrected to new life? So you have the same testimony of Jesus. You have the same testimony. And the idea is it's your personal experience. There's power, yes, when we talk about who Jesus is, that's important, but it's important when we actually talk about who he is in my own personal life. the Holy Spirit empowers you to talk about your own personal encounters, your own personal witness of what Jesus is doing in your own life. So I love that there was power when I talked about that Starbucks barista. There was power in that, but there's actually more power when I talk about what God has done in my own personal life. There's more power when you talk about what God has done in your life. Are you supposed to be a witness for Jesus? Yes, everyone, all of us. I want to move fast to these verses. So we were in Revelation, kind of the famous one. Revelation 19:10 says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." You've heard that before. The testimony of Jesus. In fact, I'm going to read a couple different translations before I hit that. The New Living Translation says, "The essence of prophecy is to give a clear testimony of Jesus." I love reading verses in different translations because they're written in Greek or Hebrew, right? And they get translated into English, and sometimes it's helpful to look at it from a different angle. New Living Translation, I'm going to read it again. The essence of prophecy, the purpose or the basis or the core of how we prophesy is to give a clear testimony of Jesus. It's to give a more clear, accurate picture of who Jesus is. So when we give prophetic words, we're actually helping people understand who Jesus is and what he says and how he views things, right? The International Standard Version says this: "What Jesus is saying and testifying is the spirit of prophecy." I like that. What Jesus is saying, not what Jesus just said 2,000 years ago. What Jesus at the right hand of the Father right now says he's interceding for you and me, right? But he's also, I believe, he is saying something. He's testifying right now. Do you believe that Jesus is testifying about you in heaven? He's testifying about you. He's saying, "Father, that's mine right there," right? "That child over there, that's mine. I bought him. I bought her. I washed her. She's clean. She carries my righteousness. And the Father sees no sin." He's testifying of what he did and you believing in him and you being resurrected into life. He is testifying about you. I love even the Old Testament. I think I said that last Sunday. Everything you find in the New Testament, you can find in the Old Testament. I love even the story of Job. How does that whole story begin? Jesus is bragging about Job. "Oh man, there's no one else like this guy. He's my favorite. Man, I love Job. He does this, he does that." He's testifying in heaven. In fact, he's testifying to the devil. He's testifying to all the angels. He's saying, "Man, look at Job." Have you ever thought that Jesus is testifying about you in heaven right now? And he's not saying, "Oh man, I can't stand that kid." That's not what he's testifying. He's testifying all the good things you've done. It says that your sins are forgiven. They are removed as far as the east as from the west, and he remembers them no more. So he's not testifying in any of our failures, of any of our mistakes, of any of our shortcomings. That's not what he's testifying about. He's testifying of all the things you've done right. All your acts of obedience, Jesus is bragging about you and testifying up in heaven about you. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, it makes me want to testify about Jesus all the more here on earth. If Jesus is testifying about you in heaven, don't you want to testify about him on earth? Man, I love that. We only love because he first loved us. Everything he calls us to do, he's already done, or he already is doing. So he's not saying like, "You better go tell people about me, or else, right? Or else." It's not like this command, like, "If you don't do it, I'm disappointed with you." He's like, "No, would you follow my example?" Jesus finds pleasure in testifying about you in heaven. He wants you to find pleasure about testifying about him here on earth. Quick, I'm going to go quick. Psalm 119:99 says this: "Your testimonies are my meditation." David says this: "Jesus, your testimonies, who you are and what you've done, are my meditation. I think about them. I dwell on them. I remind myself. I consider them. I think about the idea of meditation." Like, I don't know if you guys hear that word. Sometimes you think different things. Like, in Eastern thinking, Eastern religions, they kind of think of like meditation as like emptying your mind, right? Like Buddha, like, right? Just and you're emptying your mind of all things. No, that's not what God's word is saying about meditation. We are not emptying our mind. That's not what meditation is. Kind of the Western or this intellectual, the information age we live in, we kind of think of meditation as like just dwelling on the positive. Let's just think about, I can self-will myself to do this. And that's not what God's word is talking about either. Biblical meditation is not emptying yourself, it's filling yourself. Reminding yourself of who Jesus is. I'm going to meditate and think about all the things that Jesus has done in me. I remember all the benefits. I forget them not. I count my blessings. I name them one by one. I start remembering all the things Jesus, I'm filling my mind with all the testimonies of Jesus. I'm not relying on myself. I'm trusting in God, right? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So I'm not meditating on Ryan. Oh, Ryan is able to do this. Ryan is able to do this. Ryan is able to do that. I'm like, no, no, no. Jesus is able to do this. Christ in me is the hope of glory. I can't do this, but Christ lives and dwells in me, so I can do this. Because Christ has done this, he did it for them, he'll do it for me. Christ did this before in my past, he'll do it again in my life. So we're filling ourselves, we're reminding ourselves of these things. All right, we'll skip that. We'll go to this. I definitely want to hit this one. Do we have time to read? Yeah, we have time to read it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. Story of David and Goliath. We've heard it lots of times before. But I read this thinking about testimony, and it stood out to me a little different. So I'm going to read it there. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." I don't know if about you. Have you ever heard someone tell you you can't do something? Have you ever heard the enemy tell you you can't? You can't. You can't. And you repeat it with your mouth. Yeah, I can't do that. In my house, when my kids say, "I can't," I'm like, no, those are curse words in my house. Don't ever say you can't. But this is what King Saul is telling David. Saul said to David, "You are not able. You can't go against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are a youth, and he's been a man of war from his youth." Keep going. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Did I have one more or no? Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." That short little verses from verse 33 to 37, 33, King Saul says, "You can't." And then verse 37, he says, "Go, and the Lord be with you." What changed the king's mind? David's testimony, his personal encounters. He's saying, "I did this, but it was God who delivered him. I went after the lion, and God delivered that lion to me. I went after the bear, and God delivered that bear to me." Right? David is testifying to King Saul. The testimony changed the king's heart. It needs to be said again. Your testimony can change the king's heart. In fact, even as I said that, I'm just reminded of Moses. It says that Moses changed the mind of God. What did Moses do in that? In that story, Moses reminded God, wait, God. Don't forget, you took us out of Egypt. You defeated Pharaoh. You took us through the Red Sea. You fed us. You did this. You can't abandon us now. He reminded the king of the testimonies. And the king changed his mind. I'm telling you, there's power in testimony. If God himself, according to Scripture, changed his mind because Moses spoke the testimony, I wonder if there's things that would change in your life if you just begin to speak the testimony. I wonder how many mountains are in your way that you're just praying and praying, "Oh God, please do something." And God is saying, actually remind yourself of the testimonies. Remind yourself of all the things I've already done in your life. Remind yourself of all the things I've done throughout Scripture. See, I don't have all the Scriptures, I have time to get to it. But Scripture says that because we've been grafted into the family of God, every testimony of Jesus, meaning all that he's done throughout 6,000 years of humanity on this earth, all of Jesus' testimonies are ours. Every testimony, every single thing Jesus has ever done for 6,000 years is my testimony. So I was saying personal testimony is more powerful than someone else's testimony. But the reality is, according to Scripture, all of Jesus' testimonies are mine. I inherited them all. So David's testimony of killing a giant, that's my testimony. God, you delivered David from that big giant, so you'll deliver me from this giant that's in front of me. Because that's my testimony. All the testimonies of God are yes and amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. I love that even that word amen says, so be it, right? When we say amen, we're just saying, God, yes, yes, do it again, right? Is this making sense? This is for someone in here. You need new testimonies. You've got some good old testimonies, personal testimonies in your life. I remember I prayed for Caleb two Sundays ago, and I reminded myself as I was praying for him that God healed me when I was a kid. When I was younger than Caleb, I went to church before I came to this church. I went to another church, and I don't know if it was a broken leg, sprained leg. I don't know what it was, but it hurt like crazy. And the pastor prayed for me, and he said, run down the middle aisle. And I was like, my leg is in pain every time I put weight on it. He's like, but I just prayed for you. You're healed by faith. Run down the aisle. And so I said, okay. I took that first step, and I ran all the way down the aisle, and I came all the way back. I was healed. That's an incredible testimony. There's power in that testimony. But guess what? That testimony is over 30 years old. I need some new testimonies in my life. I don't want to live just on 30-year-old testimonies. The reality is we're supposed to go from glory to glory. There should be more testimonies in our lives. The further we get from the grave and the closer we get to heaven, there should be more and more and more and more testimonies. In fact, I got to go back and find it. Proverbs 15, I was going to skip it. Proverbs 15, 24 says this. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. I'm going to read it in a couple translations. New Living Translation. The path of life leads upward for the wise. They leave the grave behind. The Passion Translation. The life paths of the prudent lift them progressively heavenward, delivering them from the death spirals that keep tugging them downward. Spirals. I don't know about you. Sometimes I think of my life sometimes like Israel in the desert where they're just going in circles. I'm like, man, I'm doing the same thing over and over again. But God's word says, actually, the life of someone who's following Jesus says it spirals upward. So I might encounter that same problem, but I'm not at the same level. I've now gone up to a higher glory, and I'm hitting that same encounter, but now I have a testimony. Now I have a victory. I'm like, oh, God delivered me from that before. It's the same thing. It's easy. It gets easier. I have more and more testimonies. I'm not going around in circles. Is that making sense? I'm spiraling upward. Yes, there are things that I keep going through. God is refining me. There's things he's fine-tuning. There's things that he's correcting. Seems like it's the same problem. But guess what? I've got testimonies in my life. I've come up over those things. I've come up out of the grave. I'm not spiraling downward. I'm spiraling upward. I remember years ago, we did a marriage class, Sunday school class, and the speaker was talking about crazy cycle. Sometimes in people's marriages, they get on the crazy cycle. They do all this prayer, they start getting healthy, and then one spouse says something, and the other spouse reacts, and now you're just on the crazy cycle. You guys are just treating each other horribly. And he's like, you got to get off that crazy cycle. How do you get off the crazy cycle? You've got to have victory, right? You've got to say, okay, God, I'm not getting on this spiraling downward crazy cycle. I choose to get off of that, and I choose to go higher, and I choose to be like you, Jesus. I choose to pull in all the testimonies of what you've done. You've restored marriages before, so you're going to restore my marriage. I don't know, really quick. As I said that, I felt like I would be boasting if I talked about my own marriage and my own kids. Not perfect. My marriage is not perfect. My kids are not perfect. But man, it's good. I love my wife. I love my kids. And I say that as a testimony that no matter where you're at, I'm not bragging saying I'm better than you. I'm saying my testimony can be your testimony. You can love being married. You can love having kids that are following Christ. That is what brings me more pleasure than anything. They score goals, they get good grades, they do all kinds of good things. But when I see them worship God, when I see them obey, when I see them choose obedience, even when it's difficult at home, they're like, ooh. They take deep breaths and then they obey. I'm like, oh man, that makes me so happy. And I say that as a testimony, not to brag about my kids, well, maybe partly because I love my kids, I am proud, but I say that because it releases a testimony that if you have prodigal kids, God can do what he did in me, he can do in you. What he did in my kids, he can do in your kids. Is that making sense? So I don't ever want to be shy away from what it sounds like. I'm not bragging, I'm bragging on Jesus. I didn't make my marriage great. I didn't make my kids. God. Did David do anything to kill that lion and bear? He did something, but he said it was God who delivered them. Did David do anything to sling a rock at the Philistine? Yeah, he did something, but it was God who delivered that rock to make it sink and plant right into that temple or whatever it is and kill the giant. I just want to make sure that we're testifying about who Jesus is, that we're never bragging about ourselves. We're saying, man, it's Christ in me. That's the hope of your glory. All right, I know I'm going quick, but I'm just going to read a couple phrases. Testimony releases anointing. When we speak the testimonies of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes on that, and there's an anointing to do it again. But we have to speak testimonies. We've got to speak them. In fact, I'm going to find something else. I had something else before. I was going to read these. Come on. I know my time's up. I know. I'm going quick, guys. Where'd it go? Oh, I talked about that already. Where'd it go? Well, I know is this. A testimony doesn't have to be profound to be powerful. Does that make sense? It doesn't have to be this big, huge thing. I used to think growing up in the church, I used to say I don't have a testimony. Like, I grew up in the church. I grew up when I was in kindergarten, my teacher just made me say the prayer that I already believed, but I said the prayer and I became a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life, and I've never done drugs. I've never gotten drunk. I've never rebelled. I have nothing to testify of all these things that radically changed my life because I don't. So I would just say, I don't have a testimony. But that's a lie. Everyone has a testimony. Every single one of us have a testimony. My testimony, I praise God. I testify over my own kids. Since the day they were born, I brought them home from the hospital. God, everything you gave me and everything that I was able to do with the blessings you gave me, I want them to outdo me in every way. I'm testifying. God, you've been so good to me. I told you the testimony before. As a junior higher, I would just praise and worship God before I go to bed. And I really thought this as a junior high teenage, like preteen. I used to think, man, there's no one on the planet that has a better life than Ryan Donnelly. I've got it better than anybody. I'm not the wealthiest kid. I've been to Disneyland. At that point, I think I've been to Disneyland twice in my life. But I was even thanking God for that. Like, God, thank you that I've gone to Disneyland. Most humans in the world have never even been to Disneyland. I've got friends that got season passes. They go every weekend. But they're spoiled little brats. For me, I'm like, when I go, I'm like, oh, what a gift I get to go to Disneyland. I mean, I'm just sharing with you like the way my preteen brain was thinking. Like, I am blessed. I just was thinking about how blessed I am. And I was just falling asleep every night in that season of my life, just recounting all the goodness of God. It was all over my life, and I'm getting undone again right now. I would get undone with the goodness of God. I just would thank God. I literally would fall asleep in tears just thanking God for how good he is. I would testify to myself and remind myself of how good God is, and it established something in me. Like David being in tending sheep, there was something that was being established in that young boy that set him up to be a king one day. There was something that God was doing in Ryan as this preteen where I just testified to myself of the goodness of God. It established something in me that no matter what the enemy could come to do to steal, kill, destroy, speak lies, do things, I'm like, no, but God is good at all times. If it's not good yet, then he's not done yet. Like, I didn't have that phrase as a preteen, but it just something was being ingrained in me. Like, no, the goodness of God, it just follows me all the days of my life. And I get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Like, everything he does, he's leading me. He's leading me. He's guiding me. So maybe I don't have some testimony of overcoming some drug addiction. But man, I've got incredible testimonies. No matter what your life is, you've got incredible testimonies that have power. And when you share them, there's an anointing to bless someone else. So really quick, I'm going to finish with some of these statements, and maybe I won't try not to preach all of them. Testimonies carry the potential to multiply. Keeping testimonies alive is a tool to strengthen yourself. Forgetting testimonies means you lose your strength and your faith dwindles. If we testify less, we expect less, and then we experience less. If we testify more, we'll expect more. If we testify more, we'll experience more. We shouldn't make future plans without taking time to remember past testimonies. Joshua 1:9, don't let this testimony depart from your mouth, for then you'll make your way prosperous, then you'll have success. Forgetting testimonies robs other people of their encounters with God. For some reason, that's a powerful one for me. Failing to share the testimony of Jesus robs other people of their encounter. I know we're already over, and I know we got to land this plane. Can I tell you what we're going to do, and then we're going to go do it? Does that make sense? So I'm going to give you an opportunity on your own. Yeah, worship team, you can come on up. We'll just have some worship music in the background. I'm going to give you an opportunity with some worship music playing for you just to spend a moment. I'll give you instructions. Spend a moment thinking about the goodness of God, reminding yourself of the testimonies of what he's done in your own personal life. Maybe taking a promise from Scripture. Maybe taking, like I did David and Goliath, taking something that's a story. You're saying, I'm bringing that into my present-day circumstance. I didn't get into all that with David in that story. He was bringing the testimony of the lion and the bear, and it changed the heart of the king. But you know what it also did? It took a past testimony, and it brought it into his present circumstance. There's a Goliath in my life right now. Oh, but let me remind myself. I've already killed a bear. I've already killed a lion. I can take this giant on too. Sometimes we've got to take past testimonies and bring them into our personal situation. So I'm going to give you, going back to instructions, I'm going to give you an opportunity to think about, just remind yourself, just a minute or two. And before you leave, I want to give you an opportunity. I won't force you, but I'm really going to exhort you, really encourage you. Don't leave here without sharing a testimony with someone else in the room. Is that making sense? So I'm going to have you ask the Holy Spirit, what testimony do you want to bring to mind? I love the Holy Spirit as our helper, right? Holy Spirit helps us. He guides us in all truth. He reminds us of the things that Jesus has said. So Jesus has done things in your life. The Holy Spirit, I'm praying, is going to remind you of a testimony. And that testimony has an anointing to do it again. It has an anointing to multiply. It doesn't want to rob someone else of their encounter. So I want you to share your testimony with somebody else. Because maybe that might be for them to say, God, you did it for them, you can do it for me. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which means what he did for you, he'll do for me. What he did for me, he'll do for you. Is that making sense? So you're going to spend a moment. I'll pray with you. I'll give you a moment in silence on your own. And then I want you, before you leave, so it's okay if a worship song is going on, that you guys are going and giving testimonies to somebody else. If you need more clarity on that, testimony is something that God, maybe God provided, maybe God did a miracle of healing, maybe God fixed a relationship, maybe God, you fill in the blank. God did something in your life, or there's a promise in God's word that you're saying is for now. The Holy Spirit's bringing to remembrance, and then you're going to go testify. You shall receive power, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you as you become a witness, as you testify of who Jesus is. Is that making sense? So don't leave here without testifying. So would you, just an act, a posture of receiving, would you just put your hands in front of you like this? We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to be who he is. Holy Spirit, you're our helper. Would you help us? We want to be filled with power. We want to be endued with power from on high. We want it to be according to what your word says, to be witnesses, to be testifiers, to open up our mouths and share with others what you've done in our lives. So Holy Spirit, I ask, would you help us? Open our eyes, open our spiritual senses that we would remember. We would smell something that would remind us of a story. We would hear something, we would see something, God, that our spiritual gifts, our spiritual senses, God, would be opened up right now. And that you would remind us and help us and empower us to be a blessing to those around us. God, I pray, I'm selfish. I want someone else to share a testimony with me that's going to release a blessing in my life. But God, I also don't want to be selfish. I want to be a giver. I want to be a doer of your word. So God, would you anoint me to be a blessing, to share the testimony of Jesus with someone else in this room. In Jesus' mighty name, would you just take a moment?